Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Prepare thyself well, Dragon Warrior. Thy most challenging quest ever awaits. Go with speed, but go with patience. Seek out an arsenal, a dragon scale, a torch, and magic herbs. Use wisdom and cunning to choose thy commands, for the Dragon Lord is a fierce rival. Horrible and treacherous minions all guard the Evil One's island castle. Art thou ready, young one?
Yes, King Warren.
And so begins a new epic, Dragon Warrior.
Nintendo, now you're playing with power.
Wow.
Were they in a cave?
They sound... Looky here, we got a brand new episode of Play Retro. Hi and welcome everybody. I am your host Scott Johnson, and I really, really like killing blue slimes, or was it the tentacular, or maybe the elusive beware wolf? Actually, doesn't matter as long as they are dead. I say
roll for dead. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and when I tried to run from a couple of those goofy dracky bats, my way was blocked and I had to parry my way back to town. So you can tell the king I said suck it, because all my companions are ghosts and they're haunting me. Get in line, brother. You're all dead.
Nicely done. I like it. If that was any kind of, sort of hint, it probably actually wasn't much of a hint except for our commercial we played, but we're going to be talking about...
The Dracky Bats, all the stuff I said was hints in the...
And
the
blue slimes. People know what those are.
Yeah. You know,
or the Beware Wolf, although those came later. But Dragon Warrior / Dragon Quest... as you may think the series is called, but we're going to go way back when it was called Dragon Warrior on the Nintendo Entertainment System. That's all coming up shortly. Before we get
Dragon
to that,
Dragon Warrior, come out to play.
Would he bang bottles together? Yeah. Or a couple
ding,
of...
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a couple of Dracs on his hands. Ding, yeah. Ding, ding.
Yep, that's what you do. Anyway, so check this out. I've been watching a lot of Futurama for some reason, just super into it right now.
Oh, yeah. You got me watching it. Thanks a lot for that, by the way.
You're welcome. I thought it would be fun to basically deep dive into the show, and I've been watching every episode. I'm up to season 9 now. But while I was in season 8, there's an episode called Reincarnation. And Reincarnation is an episode made up of, think of it as Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. There's like 3 stories.
Is that the one where the dog dies? I can't watch that one.
No, that's a whole different thing. And that's not a 3-parter, though. That's a full episode, and that's very good. But no, this is called Reincarnation. It has 3 separate things. They used to do them, and they used to call them Tales of Interest. So the guys would go, Tales of Interest, and it was like basically 3 separate stories. Well, this is one of those without the Tales of Interest announcer, and they did a segment that looked like old-timey 1920s, 1930s cartoons. Where everyone kind of wobbles and, you know, looks like Betty Boop.
Cuphead and all that kind of stuff. Everything's like really rubber bandy.
Yeah,
kind of
it's very
goofy.
Good.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And then the second section is this 8-bit video game episode where everything is represented in like really old graphics and stuff. And it is so brilliantly done. And I don't just mean, oh, they made a good fun of old video games. Like, yes, they did. But they really zeroed in. You could tell these writers are old school gamers and that yes. they appreciate the tropes of old gaming. Like, how do you get from this side of the screen to the other screen? Or why do you, when you leave this side, why does Pac-Man come back through the other side, or Asteroids or any games like that? Where,
That's the one with the line with about the space invaders that I was trying to remember that one time. The one where he goes across and then
different episode. So that was in a Tales of Interest, which was great, and it was a section about video games, but it was more like the world colliding. The actual space invaders were coming to attack Earth, and there was a colonel named Pac-Man and all mm-hmm. that, but they were still like in the Futurama world. This thing is set completely in an 8-bit. World. The story revolves around that. It's fantastic. I'm telling you right now, and you should watch the one Brian's talking about too, because it's also very good. But it's the entire episode's called Reincarnation. The final third, by the way, is this really great send up of anime and like big robots and stuff like that. It's fantastic. And I would just say it's a great love letter to retro content. So anyway, go watch it. Season 8, episode, forget the episode number. I think it's different depending on where you watch it. So just look for Reincarnation. It's later in the season and it's very, very good.
I can't wait to get it out. And I started all the way from the beginning, so I got a ways to go. I'm still on season one.
I'll probably do it again. That's how much I love it. I never get sick of that show. Always there, always ready for a listen. Hell, I have this handy anytime I need it right here. I just play this when I'm in the mood. Hold on. Where's the old boop? Oh, there it is. I just play this right here. Oh, whoops. Let's turn it up. See, listen. And this isn't even the original thing. This is some remix of this.
This is good.
I think there's even voice in it. Hang on. Let me skip ahead, maybe. Bam, 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 bam. Let me try here. Right, here we go. Get that robot some more beer.
Get that robot some more beer.
There it is. There's the robot beer guy. Anyway,
I love all of it.
Highly recommend it. Brian, you've been messing around with 3D printers, or at least looking at them. What are you doing?
Right. So it's worse than that. So when I first wrote this down, yesterday morning, I said, I've been looking at 3D printers, which was true. So I was wanting to know out there, and it's kind of late now, but I'm going to tell you, I was going to ask, do retro gamers have a preference? Because there's some things from time to time that I need to fix on my retro hardware. And I was like, man, I really need a 3D printer. I mean, okay, I really want a 3D printer.
Yeah, you don't need one.
And I have an excuse. Sure. So there, that's what I'm doing. So I decided to get the Ender 3 version 2 direct from Creality. That's the manufacturers of these guys.
Just like stuff you heard back from people like, people you trust who said, "Hey, get that one." Is that what you?
Yes, I talked to Brian Ibbett, who is our. If you don't listen to other shows, we do. Scott does the morning stream. I do Film Sack. We have Brian Ibbett. We all hang out. We do stuff.
Yeah, we do stuff.
We do stuff, and you know Brian Ibbett's doing all this great 3D printer stuff. I love. And I'm like, I wanted him to print me another thing. And I'm like, oh, man, I keep wanting to ask Ibbett to print more stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I just need to get my own. I just need to get my own. Stop being a moocher. And so I put it in my cart. The Ender 3 version 2, and I was like, okay, but how much is the shipping? I'm like, I don't see the shipping information. So I typed in my PayPal information, because that was one of the things you could do. It's like, you know, enter your payment information and then click on the purchase button. I was like, okay, so I did that. Enter my payment information. It said, you've purchased the thing. And I was like, what? I've purchased it. I was just, you know, I had it in my cart and was thinking about it.
Oops.
And so I shot a little email off, and I'm like, hey, dudes, cancel order, please. And they said, what can we do to keep this order going?
Yeah, what can we do today to get you into a new 3D printer, they say.
Like,
okay.
I'm like,
that's amazing.
I'm like, no, just cancel the order. And it's like, I shouldn't have done it. I didn't do enough research. I got confused about the PayPal. I said, okay, Boomer, what can we do to get you into this print? So they talked me into it because I really kind of wanted it. And
so
wait,
is this
like,
a resin resin printer or filament printer?
It's the filament printer, the little reels of filament stuff that you use. And so I was like, okay. And then I said, I did this. And he's like, oh, that's a great one. And I said, but you need to get the warming bed is great on that one, but you need to get the leveling thing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to cancel for sure now because I'm not going to deal with the damn leveling thing.
Oh.
And so I sent an email back and I'm like, look, just go ahead and cancel it. And they said, And I said, my friend said I need to level things. They will throw that. We'll put that in there too. And I was like,
oh, they throw it in, man. They sound like they really want to sell you that printer, man. They don't want they don't want to lose you as a potential customer.
I'm like, send a damn thing. Yeah, just, I was trying all kinds of lies. I was like, it's not going to make it here in time for Christmas. There's no way. Oh, we can get it in there 3 to 5 days. Son of a bitch, just send it.
So now you're just going to bite that bullet and go. I get it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to bite the bullet.
That's fine, man. You're going to be happy with it. You're going to make cool little 8-bit looking figures and shit. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that your plan? By the way, what's your plan? What's the first retro thing you make? Tell me that.
Well, the first retro thing I'm going to make, I'm definitely going to make so I've been looking at Thingiverse. I'm definitely going to make some more stands for my mini consoles, because one thing that if I could get them up and just right now, they're just kind of like in piles because I don't have any really place to put them. And so if I could get some, if I could print out a couple of little nice little stands for them, which I've already bought off Etsy, they did a different kind of stand there, but for my Sega Genesis Mini, but that's probably the first retro thing I'm really going to do. It's kind of retro, right?
So yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with accessorizing all that stuff. But at some point, I think you ought to do is like make, cool little 8-bit Mario figurines. And
absolutely. I'm looking at getting if this goes well and I prove that I have the attention span for it.
Yeah.
Then I may get a resin printer later on and do some miniatures for painting and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like my long plan. We'll see how that goes.
Did you see that last week we predicted a huge thing and we didn't even know we were doing it? Did you hear about it?
Oh, what did we do? What did we predict?
Here's what we predicted. We talked about Mario Kart last week and kart games.
Oh, yes.
And no, that was the week before. Wait.
We talked about kart games the week before last.
Okay, sorry. Right? I'm getting it mixed up. Last week was Baldur's Gate stuff.
Right.
Week before that was Mario Kart, I think. Anyway, the point is...
No. The last episode was Mario Kart.
Was it? I don't remember what we did last.
Yeah. And then it was Baldur's Gate. Yeah, last one we did was Mario Kart. This is perfect. Okay, we did predict it.
Okay, here's what we said. We said... it would be cool if we could have games where you could select what superpower or power-ups that you wanted in or not in the game, like the blue shell of death or the stupid squid ink on the window or whatever it is.
Yes.
And we had said, well, that'd be great, but they don't do that. And they didn't do that. Today, literally today, Nintendo announced they're putting out a free patch to the game that includes the ability to exclude or include whatever power-ups in a match.
What? We were just talking about that.
I
know that they heard the episode, and as soon as it dropped, they were like, this is brilliant. Yep. Stop everything else we're doing.
Yep.
We're getting this rolled out before the next episode of Play Retro.
Get Moyamoto in here. We have an idea.
Get the coders. We're working 24/7 around the clock just to get this thing out while we got the Play Retro effect playing right on it.
Yeah, and make sure the lawyers write up something that prohibits you and I from ever seeing a dime from it. That's the other
that's
thing.
That's the way it works, man. Yeah,
this is the big business world of video games. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
So we'll see. Brian will get his printer. He'll start making cool stuff. We'll talk about him on the show, especially if you start doing like enclosures for various device types, like the Raspberry Pi stuff. The world's your limit as far as what you want to make to put one of those in there.
That's my plan. That's my plan. I wish I still got some research to do, but that's my plan, to print as much retro BS as I can, not for selling or anything, just for funsies and to do for the show and just to have a good time with it. Speaking of cool crap,
give me,
before we get into the Dragon Warrior Quest, the NES years.
Go.
Did you see that picture I posted right below my stuff there?
Oh, let me check. Dragon Warrior, I see. Yeah. That's all I see. I just see you.
No, you don't see. Also, trying not to order these. It's right behind, right underneath my Brian ordered a 3D printer.
Oh, did I miss this?
Let me highlight it.
Was this you recording? No, that's video. That's not it.
No. We're writing the word PICS. PICS.
Oh, I don't have anything. Wait, is this on Discord? You're talking about on Discord?
No. In the notes.
Oh, here, in the notes. In Discord, shit. Okay, hold on.
I apologize. No.
I'm sorry. I'm looking in the totally wrong place. That explains why I had no idea. Okay, I'm opening it. Here we go.
All right.
Okay.
This is what I almost spent my money on instead of that 3D printer.
Why would you get this? It's a metal slime controller for a PlayStation 2 silver thing. It's an old. It's a 2005 thing for that version of Dragon Quest. Are you kidding?
It looks like a Hershey's Kiss with eyes and a mouth.
Yeah.
And you turn it upside down, and it's a PlayStation 2 controller with a dual stick, D-pad, four buttons. It looks like a terrible idea.
How much did they make of these? Not very many, I would assume. They
didn't make a ton of them, but they made enough that this is a Hori Dragon Quest Metal Slime controller for the PS2. They make them for other systems too, but this is the one I wanted. And because I just loved how it looked. And when you turn it upside down to play it, the little eyes are looking straight at your crotch. Also, you probably want to be careful because if you drop that pointy in, I'm not sure how pointy that thing is, but it looks like it might be kind of cool because it looks like you could put it between your legs and be like perfect little, you know, like a perfect little slot.
I feel like the more you put your legs together, the more it'll squeeze up like a bar of soap. You know what I mean? Like the physics on it.
It would shoot out.
Yeah. That's great, dude. I kind of, part of me wishes you'd have gotten it, and part of me is like, no, don't. It's $105 right now.
Don't do that. Yeah, they're all around between $100 to $300. I've seen it as low as about $40-something with it was used, which is fine. But I'm kind of wanting.
Here's one in a box.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
There's a Japanese one in a box. I think it's the same one in the box $79.34. You buy that right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's just so freaking cool. It looks like I get a hard time for all the controllers I have. I love controllers because there's one thing that you can't emulate. Like we emulate all the time, the video games. Mm-hmm. I've got a Mr. FPGA that does 8 and 16-bit systems. Visually, it emulates
pixel for pixels, everything,
pixel perfect. Yeah. It responds like with no latency. It's perfect. But the one thing I can't get from the retro of it is the controller in my hands. There's a retro memory nostalgia that is me holding a device in my hands.
Yep, I agree.
And so
it's your interface to the thing we're talking to, the games we talk about. That's your 100% way of it. This is funny you bring this up. Last night, I go get my Steam Deck because somebody recommended some 8-bit thing or some 16-bit looking thing that was new but also played like an old game. I'm like, that's interesting. Let's check it out. It's $5. I go to start playing it, and I get my thumbs up there, and my right thumb feels weird. I'm like, what is going on? I look down. Hadn't noticed this till I looked down. I look down, and I'll put a picture up. It has completely unseated.
Oh no!
I think it fell and no one told me or something. I'm going to send you a picture here as well, so you can see.
Time to get the 3D printer out and print some new buttons.
No kidding. That's the right stick.
Boy!
You can see this hard plastic dome that it connects to. That thing is rigid. There's no elasticity to it. So that's popped off the post. I'm pretty sure the post is right there where the middle of the white is. And for me to, I can't budge it. I've tried. If I pull too hard, I'm going to break it. So the other option was to open it and try to reseat it myself, which I could do, I guess. But instead, I just thought, well, what does Valve do if I tell them about this?
Right.
And Valve is having me send it to them free of charge.
Just send it to us.
Yeah.
You're obviously an idiot.
They're going to cover this no matter what. They'll pay for, if they fix it, that they'll pay for it. If they don't, if they can't fix it, they'll give me a new, you know, equivalent model.
I
already had
a refurb or something like that. Yeah,
it's going to take, you know, I probably won't see this thing until after Christmas, but they're going to take care of it. And that made me happy. So I just wanted to put this out here that this is probably my fault. I don't know how it happened, but probably I did it. The machine didn't suddenly go and lodge this.
Yeah, you know? I can't imagine how that would, I'm like pushing mine right now as far as I can to the right, just like with just normal pressure.
I think what happened is I caught it on something and it pulled it up and out.
That's what I'm thinking. It would have had to. Oh yeah, if I pull the stick up a little bit, absolutely. Okay, I can see it. Yeah. Actually, when I you can actually pull it out a little bit. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you can do that. Maybe that's what happened. Got pulled. It probably got caught on a string or something.
Something.
Got pulled,
edge of the bed. Who knows? I don't know what happened. But all I know is I'm very, very pleased that they have responded the way they have. It makes me, this was the one area about buying Steam hardware that I was concerned about because I didn't know what their follow-up or their customer service would be like, even for a dumb thing like this. And they have been great. And they were quick. That's crazy. Got back to me like a half an hour. They were like, all right, here's what we want to do. Now, normally, this is the sort of thing we look at and go, oh, user error. But we're going to cover it this time because clearly you didn't expect it. And we're not sure how it got there. So we're going to take care of it. It was a personal response. It wasn't some robot.
Yeah.
And they're going to take care of me. So
I think it is, you know, partly on you, but it's also partly on the design, because there should be, even with, you know, snagging on something, it shouldn't have popped out. But I just felt mine. I pulled mine. And there's actually a give when I pull on it.
There's a little bit of give. Yeah,
there's like a give when I pull it out a little bit. The designers probably didn't think that would happen. It's like, oh, there'll never be any pulling force on this. It'll always be pushing force. And the designers probably didn't give enough, you know, leeway.
Maybe, but also keep in mind that it needs to have some give both directions, because these click in as well. They actually have a function where they click. So I don't know. I think this was, I'll be honest, I think it was 100% something I did on this end, or someone did while they were at the house. But
anytime you design something, you always got to design for the stupidest person out there. And if the stupidest person can do it, you got to take care of it. And that's what happened here, right? The stupidest person took care of it. So there you go.
Yep. Then they're going to fix it. Stupidest guy did it. Stupidest guy in the room. So anyway, I'll let you guys know what happens with it. But so far, they have been amazing and really, really pleased that Valve has been this responsive. It's very cool.
Usually I'm the stupidest person. So I appreciate I'll wear the hat
for the day. It's fine.
I appreciate that.
I don't mind doing that. All right, well, let's dive into this. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Everybody sit still, relax, and enjoy the following discussion about Dragon Warrior.
Shall we play a game?
Or, as most people called it, or call it now, Dragon Quest, because that's what they had to change the name to. Before we get to any of this, I'm going to play a little bit of sound from the game, and then I want to hear the reasons why this name thing happened. Because that always disrupts your branding and recognition and who owns what and when and why.
Yeah.
But here's a little bit of the sound of the game in action. It's very highfalutin, you know, this music. Yeah. It's very like...
Kochi Sugiyami made that music, and it's fan-frickin-tastic.
It's pretty great. Pretty great. This came out in 1986, originally for the Nintendo Entertainment System, only a few years into its lifespan.
And I thought that was just the, was that right? I was meaning to go back and look, because was it the Famicom that it came out in 96 and then North America in 89? I think that's my bad. I usually put North American dates.
86, 89? Okay, you might be right on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the original was inspired by Wizardry and Ultima, some Western RPGs. Maybe that's why this series rang with me more than, say, Final Fantasy. It just, I don't know. It's something about it is a little bit more on the Western side of the RPGs, which I do tend to prefer from like a tone perspective, but still very Japanese, still a JRPG, still random battles, that sort of stuff.
What we think about in JRPGs is kind of where this all started, right? This is kind of where this is the start.
Well, what are the years between which was first, Final Fantasy One or this? Do we know? In Japan?
Oh, no. Final Fantasy was inspired by this. Dragon Quest came out first. Yeah.
Okay. And, so that's good to know, because that tells me even more about where inspiration should or does, or, you know, where it does come from.
Yeah.
Obviously, the trajectory of these games is very different in terms of, you know, modern versions of them. Like, Final Fantasy is far and away the giant big property now. And they kind of left this in the dust, but this one does okay. Dragon Quest 11, which I play on PC and console, and I think it's still
Xbox Game Pass. Is where I got my first flavor taste of Dragon Quest.
I think it's on Game Pass still, although I think it's leaving soon. But the I had it on Steam prior to that. It's a very good game.
I was amazed. Like you said, this one doesn't feel as Japanesey as other games. This actually feels more it feels more American in some of the ways, and probably because it was inspired by Dungeons and Dragons, Wizardry, and Ultima, and those kind of games. And they probably kind of said, you know, what's the American adventure list, but let's put a little Japanese spin on it.
Yep. One big solo story, no multiplayer or any of that. And you just go around and do everything. You walk up and down stairs. You go outside. You run into a random encounter. You fight that thing, with whatever abilities
you're making
require.
It sound a lot easier than it is, because this thing freaking has a menu button for everything.
Oh yeah,
it's like if you got to open the door, you got to choose door.
Let me tell you what's gotten a lot better in the last intervening 30 plus years. The way we interface with these games has gotten a lot better, because this old school, like, door open, you know, it's almost got kind of a Zork quality, except you're choosing them instead of typing them.
Oh yeah.
That was the
Wizardry Boy. That had a lot of menu options. In it. And stats. God.
Yeah. Wonder what that series is. Are we going to ever make a fresh take on Wizardry? Probably not.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. We're going to cover it eventually, though. We've got to get into those.
I know. Wizardry's huge for me. Massive influence on me. I love that series. Everything about Wizardry was so good. I mean, Wizardry, I'm not sure you have Elder Scrolls 1 or 2, Daggerfall. Those don't even exist without Wizardry. Those were directly inspired by that game type. Anyway, you're right. That should be a thing we talk about. But this was the game, and it was a big hit in Japan, and I think later here it did all right.
I watched some videos on, you cannot understate. Or overstate. You can't like not say that the Japanese don't love their Dragon Quest, because they love the freaking Dragon Quest. As a matter of fact, they love it so much. There was rumors that the Japanese government said that the Dragon Quest releases, any subsequent releases of the game, could not be on any day except for Saturday, because too many people were missing work.
Oh, now, weird.
That was actually Enix, or Square Enix, that made that decision, because it was disruptive, because that's how ingrained it is into the culture. But if you know where the artwork comes from, the artist Akira Toriyama, Dragon Ball, if you know anything about that, that's where all of that is a force to be reckoned with.
On there's Japan. A list. So the gamer.com, I like to go there sometimes. They got pretty decent stuff. They also do a lot of rankings, a lot of sort of top 10 lists, that sort of thing. And they have a top 10 all Dragon Quest games ranked list. And they currently put the first game, Dragon Quest 1, at the 9th best game in the series. Now, this doesn't include anything outside of... let's see, where does it end? 9? It doesn't include 11.
There's the MMO, right? They probably don't do anything with that one. Is that 9? I think that's...
Is there an MMO? Where's that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's a Dragon Quest MMO? Shut up. Where?
If I remember my Dragon Quest homework, one of them is definitely MMO, but the people usually don't consider that really part.
You know what? You're right. Dragon Quest 10 was... it was called Dragon Quest X Online.
There you go.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
This is news to me.
This is news to me, and I need it now. Oh, please. Why, where'd it go?
I really didn't know that.
I didn't either until this last week.
2012 or so, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, because that's a lot like the trajectory that the Final Fantasy games went in. Yes. Where it was like single player, some co-op, some other stuff. Hey, we're making an MMO for one of these. Boom, there's your MMO. And then back to making, you know, single player games again. Twice in the case of Final Fantasy. They've got two of those. Final Fantasy 15 went back to single player. 16 is single player again. But there's 14 running like a WoW game, just over there doing its thing. I did not know their Dragon Quest 10. I don't know how I missed that. That's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. I didn't know any much about Dragon Quest or Dragon Warrior, even though I had this here in my NES collection. I don't know how I ended up with a Dragon Warrior, but the fact that I have a copy of Dragon Warrior and never played it back in the day tells you just how abundant this was. And the reason why is because for a while, Nintendo Power, if you subscribed, you're getting a copy. Everybody's getting a copy.
Really? They gave Dragon away. Warrior. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. They did that for I think they got unloaded 200,000 of these things through Nintendo Power alone. And if you're looking to pick up an original cart of any of the Dragon Warrior series, 1 through 4 is what we're covering today for the NES, this would be the one to get, because it's $10 most places. The other ones are $100.
I mean, I think the first game probably still holds up okay, but they, you know, all the other rankings I could find, they all put it kind of low on the list.
It's definitely important in what it introduces, but it is a lot clunkier. And man, after you play the other ones, when you start seeing, parties are way more fun. It's way more fun to play when you have classes and parties instead of just being a soldier, fighter, single player, doing attacks and stuff. One of the things I like about this game, that I did like about one, though, that I didn't see in the other three we covered, is when you had your random monster encounters, you had the backgrounds. But then the later ones, they were all just black backgrounds. The characters started getting a lot more, you know, looking a lot better and more varied.
Well, it depends on what. So if you were spending time in dungeons, it was black backgrounds. Yes. But if you were out in the world, you got like trees and mountains and.
You got trees and stuff. You got to see a scorpion and doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. Okay. Quick thing that explains why I wasn't plugging my head into Dragon Quest X properly. That MMO never came to the States. That's why. That's an Asia-only deal.
There's a lot of things that we didn't get in the States. Like we said at the start, Dragon Warrior released for the Famicom system in 1986 in Japan. We didn't see it until 1989 for the NES.
Yeah.
But good news is we didn't have to do the stupid password save crap. The Famicom, you had to do the password save. There's no battery in that cart to save. We got the ones where you could save, which is good.
Yeah, we got the cars that go boom. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a grindy game, boy, and it's a lot of fun, but man, you don't want to do the same thing over and over.
No, there's a lot of grinding going on. In fact, if I had any complaint about the series, it is that I always like the story, I like the character design, I like a lot about it. The Dragon Ball Z artist guy, what's his name?
Akira. He's Dragon Ball Z guy. Yeah, Akira Toriyama.
100% across this thing. If you're ever looking at the game and going, "Why is this familiar?" It's because you've seen Dragon Ball and other animated projects. That's this dude.
It's this dude. And if you have the Famicom version of this, once again, the United States getting the short stick. I meant to put some links to the manuals and stuff, but in the Dragon Quest versions in Japan, they have Akira's art in the manuals. In ours, it's still good art. I don't want to besmirch the artist who did it because it's still good, but it's not that same tone, and that's too bad. I think you wanted to talk about the Dragon Quest name and why it changed.
I was going to say, so I do want to know about that, but here's what I'll do. Let me rip through this list so we can just get this out of the way. This is what they think the top 10 games are as related to the ones we're going to talk about today. So Dragon Quest X is at number 11. I'm sorry. Yeah, number 11. At number 10, Dragon Quest II. So they're not huge fans of 2, which we'll talk about.
Two is poo. I will agree with that. We're going to talk
about
that.
I don't think 2 is very good. I think 3 and 4 are pretty good. But
3 and 4 is really
rough. Dragon Quest, the original, is at number 9. At number 8, we have Dragon Quest 6. That would have been SNES, right? No, DS port. No. We came here on the DS is where that happened.
Right.
5
we
as
didn't
well.
Get it. We didn't, after, yeah, 5 and 6, we didn't get at all in US on the Super NES. We didn't get it until, I'm not even sure if we even got it or not.
Well, we did on DS, but we didn't, I don't think the GBA ever got one. But we did definitely get DS games. 7th, we have Dragon Quest 9. 6th, we have Dragon Quest 3.
I agree.
Number 5, Dragon Quest 4. I think 4 is the best of the NES run. I really like it.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest 7 at number 4. At number 3, we have Dragon Quest, let's see, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, that's not 10. 5, 6, 7, 8. Sorry, 8. I hate Roman numerals. I don't do them right. Dragon Quest 11, they have it number 2, and that's the new one.
Yes, I mean it is fan freaking tastic. No,
highly recommend
retro,
it.
But you can,
it's so good.
But you can, you can play it in 2D, which I loved about when I started playing. I'm like, what? I
can go back. You can and play swap it? In real time. You can swap back and forth in this like 2D crappy thing retro look to, you know, one of the prettier games that year. It's very, very nice, like a big 3D beautiful, you know, long distance viewing game. It's very cool. Anyway, they gave that number 2. I think that's deserved. And their number 1 pick was Dragon Quest V, which again didn't come to the West until the DS port in the late 2000s. But if you ever did play it, it was supposed to be one of the best ones. Now, I haven't played this one.
No, and we're going to get to 4, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 3 has a one story. And then 4, 5, and 6 has another story. So I want to play 5 and 6 because I really loved 4, which is called Chapters. Or some, the subtitle is called Chapters. And there's a reason for that. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But
yeah, and 4 is where things kick off, I think, in a way that send it for the rest, you know, that it becomes kind of the tone for the rest of everything else this game is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
they figured
two,
it out.
Two sounded like this. And you're going to say, Scott, that's a lot like one. It is. They kind of all sound
because
same.
It's the same compose. There's some things going on here. Yuji Horii, the designer, he is throughout. He's here everywhere. He's throughout the whole series. There's never been a Dragon Warrior quest that did not involve him. And also, there's tons of the same people that work on these projects throughout the whole
to
time.
To this day, right? Like, he still, yeah, I think he still does it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does the new stuff is very orchestrated, like lots of orchestra based stuff. And he, as far as I know, writes and conducts all that. So,
yep.
That's, I love that aspect of Japanese long time projects. They tend to have the same people involved for 30 years on the same thing. And they're doing this shitty 8-bit music. And then eventually they've got, you know, a 300 piece orchestra doing their music. I love that.
Right. And who knows the characters better, man? Who writes it better?
Yeah, no. I love that. I think it's probably, they're probably all miserable and wish they, you know, that they could do something new. I don't know. I actually don't know. But
yeah, I don't know. I looked at a couple. I did not get as many interviews and reviews as I wanted to this week because it gets a little complicated about, you know, where it was released. And the reviews weren't solid. I mean, the reviews were good, but there wasn't a lot of them. How's that? There we go. That's where.
No, I like that. I like where your head is there.
There was not a lot of them.
So that's two. Two again. I think probably the weakest of the pile. That's
favorite. You on this one, you're playing solo when you start, but you go out and you run into other warriors up to, and you can have, I think you can add up to two more to your party. So
right,
there's
a three.
Party of three essentially, which is good because now you start having some class stuff going on. You're still having to manually do a lot of things. You're having to equip. I think you start to do it in two. I think you start to equip, but it's just not that compelling. If you play the first 30 minutes of this one and then you get onto three, you're like, why was I playing two? It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was probably fine when it came out because it was like using all these new things. But once you get to three, you're like, holy, they really need this.
Two. This is the game they need. Not two.
Yeah.
Again, you're right. At the time, it was just a sequel, but now in retrospect, I think it just doesn't hold up like the third one does.
Like I said, they added a few new things. They did some new things, and it was a step. It was just those, you know, it was those ugly teenage years.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you play three, you get this sound. So a lot of the same is the point. It's the NES, man. They got out of it all they were going to get. And these are good tracks. There's nothing wrong with them. But this is the tracks you got back then. This is how it sounded when you fought. Ooh, very intense, Brian. Very intense.
Yeah. The music started getting very repetitive, but addicting. It wasn't repetitive in a bad way.
It was good. I agree.
Yeah, it was really good by three.
Also, this had four people in your group. So two had three had four. And that meant a lot more going on, a lot more stuff to choose from your companions. And I mean, the game did become, I think, you know, in the long tooth of the game all the way up to 11, the game is now known for its multi-party characterizations, a lot like Final Fantasy. So it isn't just you doing stuff. You can use the power and the healing and the whatever of your companions. And you do it in turn-based action like you're used to.
Yeah. And if you know, a couple of you die, it's all right. You can let them ghost you. They can walk behind you as a little ghost until you get back to town. Mm-hmm. I started really feeling like getting comfortable in three because we first thing you do. Okay, so every Dragon Quest game up until this point and going forward, I believe, it's really a King's Quest. It's like first thing you do is you go, you either wake up or you're standing right in front of the king. Yep. And you got to talk to the king and he says, go forth and do the things and save the land or the princess like you did in the first one.
My
by the way,
back hurts. Go retrieve the salve of life and bring it. Yeah, it's always some complaint by the king. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The first one's stupid because you had to save the princess, but that's not really the point. That's not the point to save the princess. I mean, it's such a letdown. Really, the point of the whole game, here's a spoiler from a game from 1989, is to make the decision about whether to join the dark side or not is what it really is all about. But yeah, you save the princess. But here again, you're sent forth by the king, and you go to the local bar, and you pick yourself some companions, and you know, from different classes. So you got a healer, and you got some soldiers, and you know, you got different classes, and it's time to get on going on an adventure. Scott.
Yeah. The game's I think shaping up for what it's going to be long term here. Chat room reminds us that the composer for Dragon Quest XI passed. Since the
Yokochi Sugiyama passed, so Dragon Quest 12.
That'll have somebody else. We don't know yet what that'll mean. All right, now we get to the one that I think is the bomb.
Send down the bride.
Send in the bride, everybody. Yes, what you're hearing there, if I can find the volume button, is the beginning of Dragon Quest IV, the final installment on the Nintendo Entertainment System, Dragon Warrior IV.
Yeah, right? And by this time we've introduced stuff like day-night cycles, so we're seeing, you know, more classes, more towns and villages and places to visit. You've got vaults. Store gold and items and that kind of stuff already.
It's a more colorful game too, I thought. Like it has a punch to it. I still don't like that the outdoor fights get rid of the backgrounds. I think it's annoying.
Yeah. I do too. It makes me sad because I like seeing the backgrounds. How much does it cost to render a couple of backgrounds? I don't know. But I do know this. Each version of these, I played these all on the Mr. FPGA, which if you don't know what that is, it's hardware emulation. So usually anything that happens here in my ROMs also happened in the original ROMs. And so getting more and more delayed screen tearing at the tops and the bottoms, meaning that they're trying to save and swap out as much memory as they can. So they're definitely using every last ounce of mojo they can get out of the NES.
Oh, no doubt.
In 1990.
Yeah, no doubt. This was that was that time. Because new consoles are right around the corner. You had to squeeze that lemon, man.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, squeeze it, baby.
Real good. You had to squeeze until the slime came out.
Now, had we been around, had we been around for 5, or if they'd sent 5 over here is what I'm trying to say. I can't think of the way I'm trying to say that. You would have heard this. Oh, shit. Oh, God, listen to that Super Nintendo freaking sound chip, man.
Yeah. Sony put us a nice little 16, just put us a little chip in our 16-bit system, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Listen to that thing. It reminds me of Mario or something. But
it totally reminds me of Mario.
Yeah. I mean, that was the great 16-bit era for Nintendo games, and I feel like this stuff, it's a bummer it didn't come here. I mean, it did come here, but it came here in a weird way and not in the in the height of the game's popularity and all that. I just wanted to mention it. We're not really covering it for the SNES, but 5 is the game I wanted to play. I guess I can play it now.
Right.
But it's a DS port. I don't want to play a DS port, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to play that. I don't mind playing a DS port, but I want my first experience with it to be that. Dragon Warrior didn't even hit until 1992 on the NES, by the way. I got to go back and adjust my dates because all those dates were for the Japanese releases. And I usually do North American releases, especially when we're talking about North American releases.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever tell you about the reason why it wasn't called Dragon.
Let's get to this. This is fascinating to me. So tell me how this went down.
So Dragon Warrior 4 was in Japan was called Dragon Quest 4 Chapters of the Chosen. And you would understand because this game is played in chapters and you start out as the companions. But so the reason why we couldn't have Dragon Quest in the US is because there was a tabletop game called Dragon Quest.
Bastards.
One word. That was already out there, so they had to come up with something a little different. So they went with Dragon Warrior, and they never gave us none of the subtitles, you know, like the you know, was not subtitles, the taglines, the Chapters of the Chosen, which would have been cool. I appreciate the fact that you're telling me right there in the game's name how it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be playing as the companions first, leading up to four companions leading up to Chapter 5, when we finally get to meet our hero, who usually, up until this point, I think there's a lot of incest going on in the Dragon Warrior world. I think there's a lot of close relations is what I'm thinking. Seems like there's always the ruling class and always seems to be part of the same family. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Castles and gold, baby.
Yep, all the castles, all the gold. Anyway, it was a good run, and I cannot say enough good things about the newer
games.
Did
you get to play 4 much at all?
I did play 4. 4 is great. I like 4.
I almost couldn't stop. And if I hadn't have been sick last night, I was planning on playing more of 4.
Yeah, 4 hooked me in a way that the others didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like back in the day, excuse me, I played 4. I don't think I finished it, but I had 4, owned 4. I don't know where that cartridge went. And liked it then. And now playing it, all of these obviously have aged. There's a lot of issues with like UI and, you know, we've been spoiled by newer innovations and how we interact with the world and that sort of thing.
Right.
But of the 4 that I fired up and messed around with this week, 4 really got me, like had me going, and I wanted to keep going. I didn't expect that. I expected all of them to kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, these are great in the day and they're worth talking about, obviously, but I was surprised that 4 had me kind of hooked.
By the way, before my
Steam Deck thing popped, that's where I was playing that.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I gotta kill that freaking Draki. I gotta kill him.
Yeah,
must
Matt.
Die.
Oh no, my stick. Snap. My stick. I guess I wasn't. You wouldn't use dual sticks on that game anyway, but
right.
I was playing on the D-pad.
Do you ever? So the really interesting thing we didn't talk about this whole series is how all the stats are handled. And I didn't know this until later in my plays, but apparently when you're playing early on, like definitely in the first game, not sure about the rest of them, but definitely in the first game, if you your first 4 characters of your, I think, 8 or 9 character names possibility, that is where there's some mathematical computation to determine what your starting stats are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect you in the long run because the way the upgrade path and experience path goes, by the time you get to the end, you'll be well ready to fight against the boss. So you don't have to worry about that as far as picking your name. But you can end up with a cooler character at the beginning if you get the right if you do the right characters that have there's like charts and stuff on. There's nerds on the internet, Scott.
Oh yeah,
and they come up with formulas, and it's all based upon values placed to each letter, and then whatever remainder is left over after a calculation.
Wow.
That's your stats.
I mean, that's great, but I can't live like that.
Can't live like that, man.
No,
that's not me.
That's not my level of nerd. Although I respect it, I do. I truly respect it, but it's a little rough. There was also these Game Boy, you mentioned them, but the Dragon Warrior Monsters Game Boy Color game, but there was also the Game Boy Color ports of 1 through 3. They look pretty good. They look all right.
I played them a little bit, and they look fan-freaking-tastic, and, you know, it's all the same, basically the same game. They're just, say remakes, but I mean, it's pretty much the same story.
They're just ports. Really yeah. Which is fine.
Really good.
They called them Quest, though. In that, right?
Yeah, they finally did get the it was called Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 and then the 3, I think
3 had Dragon Quest Warriors, something, you know, something had Quest. No, 3 didn't either.
You might be right.
Yep. 3 didn't either. No, I'm looking at it now.
Nope.
That's unfortunate. I don't know.
But by the time we get to like later on, we finally start getting, I don't know what happened to the Dragon Quest board game. But it's apparently sometime between 5, 6, and then when we get to 7, I guess there was just like, whatever, we're going to call it what we want.
Yeah, we're just going to give it whatever name we feel like. Boy, it sure animated well on that Game Boy version. I do like that.
It's amazing that only so many years later that you get this on the Game Boy Color, and man, it looks really good.
I love the color. I was a big fan. Yeah. I would be at work, and I'm like, I need a break. And I'd sit on the toilet, and I would play Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color for hours.
Yeah. By the time they got to Dragon Warrior 4, by the way, the character designs, the character sprites were so charming. I loved all of them. The slimes continued to be amusing and goofy and silly. And, you know, the Drakis and just everything going forward.
The slimes are iconic. Like, at this point, they you put them up there with, like, the greatest enemies in the history of video games.
Yes.
If you do a list of 100, you include the slimes.
Yeah.
I don't
understand. The logic breaks for me, though. Like, I noticed that a lot of versions of these games I played, 1 through 4 on the NES, I noticed that they were lulling me into a false sense of security to increase the level of my mistakes. Mm. So when I would leave the castle, There is some random number generation, but it's really, I think, from screen to screen, because I think when you get to a certain area, then it's time-based for the random encounters. I kind of noticed that. But anyway, the further, when you're walking away from the castle, you're on your quest, you're walking away from the castle, you don't encounter very many things at all. Nothing.
That's true.
And then you get like about halfway across the map and you run into a dead end. You're like, oh no, I'm running into a dead end. Let me turn it around. And you turn it around, and every step you take going back towards the castle, there's random encounters like crazy. So they get you to get far away from town, because that's what you need to bring the medical herbs. If you don't bring the medical herbs, you can't heal. Mm. And if you don't have a healer with you, you're screwed. Mm. So you got to go back to town to get some rest.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So you get this false sense of security. You get way away from the castle, and you're like, oh, there ain't nothing out here. Yeah. I'm just going to go here and look around. And next thing you know, you're turning around. You're trying to run away constantly. And this is where I was trying to get to. Why can't I run away from slimes? How are they blocking my exit? I've seen these guys. Mm. They're about ankle height. I think I could jump over them. That doesn't make no sense to me.
Have we talked about how long it's taken me to get over random battles as a mechanic? Like, I have had to fight that in me so hard. I hate them. Right. Generally speaking, I hate them. I've had to learn to deal with it, because there are some modern JRPGs I really enjoy, and they use that as a continuum mechanic. I much prefer to be able to see what I'm going to attack. And by the way, 11 lets you see. It's not random. So you can choose to fight or not. I love that. But the games that don't, I've always had like a real bone to pick with those games. These are part of that tradition. And I think it does suffer from too much. I move 2 inches, bam, I'm in another fight. I can't run. I got to fight slimes. Like, there is a lot of that.
So Pokemon wouldn't exist without this, right?
Right.
So the random encounters, those, I like them because it gives you an opportunity to, you know, maybe can do some, you can do some collecting. Anyway, on this game, I didn't like the random encounters either when at first, but then I was like, you know what? This is kind of smart. This is a kind of a way to barrier things in so that I don't get too far away, so that I explore areas closer to me fully, instead of doing what my American mind wants to do. It's like, I'm going to head west as fast and as far as I can go right now, and then I get screwed. So I feel like the random encounters, if I played it more conservatively and did the grinding and exploring is the invisible fence they put up around me, I think I would do better. I think I would do better.
I agree. I think so too. But, you really should. Have you played 11? You played a little on Game Pass, right?
Yeah, I loved 11 when I played of it, and I loved going into 2D and then popping back out and going into 3D.
I got to go play that more. I didn't beat it, but I got pretty far.
I didn't beat it.
Mm. But this is true of me and most JRPGs. I don't usually beat them.
Yeah.
I have friends who do.
I want to beat some JRPGs, but man, that's the thing about JRPGs. They are grindy, and so 20, 40 hours, real easy to invest into a single game, basically doing the same game loop over and
you
over
again. You get to a desert in those things, and I don't mean a physical desert, but like a place where it just feels like every fight is a grind. And
How can I complain about playing 40 hours on Dragon Warrior when I've played at least twice that on Candy Crush, which is way more repetitive? What's wrong with it?
It is, but the reward system is more prescient. So like, like you're getting that all the time. It's a little bit like when I play the Vampire Survivor style games. I've been playing a lot of those, including Vampire Survivors. And that game is about constant feeding of your brain's need for, Flash. What's the chemical called?
Matching.
Now, what's the chemical in your brain? The dopamine.
Serotonin?
Dopamine. So you're always getting dopamine, and you're getting it constantly. Yeah. Wham, wham, wham. Do an upgrade. Wham, wham, wham. That was beautiful killing all those dudes. Ooh, do another upgrade. Do another upgrade. Get another weapon.
Shiny, sparkly.
Yeah, so it feels like you're always gaining, and you're doing it quick. Whereas these games, they have that in the beginning, but later on it's like, you're in a flat part of the curve, and you just got to pick away at things until finally you ding again or whatever. Like, I just think there's a, what does Bo call it? Oh, he calls it the ding desert. And I agree with him.
The ding desert.
Yeah. And most like free to play games that want you to spend money, their ding desert is a place where you're going to be stuck in that grind town until you spend some money.
Yeah. You want to get out of this? Yeah. You've progressed quite nicely so far, haven't you? Mm-hmm. But now.
Yeah. So what
now
I've done
time
is
to talk money.
What I've realized is the random battles aren't the problem for me. They never have been. I thought they were, but that isn't the problem. The problem is the lack of meaningful progression in late game. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't mind whatever mechanic you throw at me. I just don't feel like I'm not getting rewarded enough for my dumb monkey brain to want to keep going.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
That's the thing. In this game, I feel like it's actually the Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest series up to four, at least I could speak to that. I feel like I'm actually trying to look for the random. I'm playing a lot different than when I went in. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I went in, I was like gung ho. I got to make it to the next town. And now I'm like, oh, I need to circle my way around town. It's kind of slowly, you know, edge out and get a little further. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like waiting for my random encounters because I'm like, oh, if I get this random encounter, then I can, you know, I can increase my experience. And therefore, then I can go up to this next little section. By the way, people have maps about what level you've got to be in to even walk in certain pixels. You can't even, there's certain areas that you can't even go to.
Really?
Until you get to a certain area. Yeah, it's like. So you get to a certain level, so it's like, oh, I'm gonna get whacked.
I don't like any of that. It just sounds like it would bore me after a while.
Well, you know, we were in a different time. We talked about the manuals earlier. This was a time when we were still marrying pen and paper to our video games, where we're making our own maps, writing down our own stats. So we're extending the gameplay by doing exploration and writing that data down. And now we're just kind of, it's like, I'll just Google it.
Well, if anything, we're going back to that, you know, we're enjoying tabletop in a way that we haven't in a very long time. D&D is having a real freaking moment.
Right.
So, you know, some of that stuff you return to, but you're right. Like from a digital standpoint, this was early days.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Bust out that. Oh, I did call. I called a hotline yesterday. Dagum, I wish I meant to bring
you
it up.
You called a hotline. Explain.
I called a hotline yesterday. There was the. It was one. I think it was the Dragon Warrior manual, and Let me see if I can find the number. I'd love for you to call it.
We could do it right now. I can do it on the air.
Yeah. You keep talking. I'm gonna see if I can locate it in my history because I think it was. Let me see if I can see.
I mean, if you look for Dragon Warrior,
Dragon Warriors. But it was a PDF or something, though. I got to see when I was streaming last when I looked at it.
Support line. Let's see if anything
comes
up. Oh, man.
We got it. Also, I learned some stuff about Kyrandia. There was a person. We talked about Mastodon before the show. Mastodon social network.
Yeah.
That's not really a Twitter replacement, but it is a place a lot of people are.
It's a federated. Go look up federated. They're putting just look up Mastodon. You'll understand.
Yeah, they're putting their social energy into Mastodon. Anyway, there was somebody who came in because I had named Kyrandia, and I was like, oh, what does that mean? I started doing some research, and that was, now there's another freaking game I want to play this retro. Let me see.
Did you find it?
I'm still looking.
Because I want to call this so bad.
It was fantastic because it was 800 number, and they actually – was a message there, and oh my god, where is it at? I know it's definitely. Wait a minute. I see voice calls. I did a voice call. Let's see if it's the number still in my history. Yes, here it is. Are you ready?
Yeah, give it to me. 800.
Okay, it's 1-800. 937.
937.
Yeah, what's that in?
Sorry, I'm just reading back. 800-937.
Yes. 555.
555-7. Is that it? The whole thing?
Yes, that was it. It was 1-800-937-5557.
Okay, let's see what we got.
This was in the Dragon. It was either Dragon Warrior 2.
2? Was it 2?
Manual. Let me see.
Oh, I love that.
This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Cool.
We have a special promotion today for select callers. If you are over 50, please press 1 now.
For what?
If not, press 2.
I'm going to say no.
Thank you for your help with our survey.
That's what I did too. I said no.
That's great, dude.
And thank you for participating in our survey. And then it's like, nope, you're not old enough to be playing Dragon Warrior.
Oh, that's freaking hilarious. So wait a minute, though. If I'd have hit over, what would have done?
I don't know. I didn't want to call back because I was wanting to see what you would do because I didn't want to know the answer because I was like, let's just see what happens. You think it would just do the same thing?
I think it would do the same thing. I think it's just a survey. I think it's like
a survey of if you're under. That's the whole survey.
Yeah.
If you're over,
I think
under
it's some
50.
Somebody else has the number now. It's kind of like the old Sega number right. That's now like, you know, some two. Who knows? They take over the number. It's on some card, some medical card. Who freaking knows?
Right. What kind of survey is that though? How binary? Are you under 50 or over 50? Thanks.
Video game support phone lines. All right, I'm gonna see if there's one in here that we can just.
Right.
Okay. Voice lines of. Okay. No, I don't want that. 100 powerful video game quote. No, I don't want that either. None of this is here. All right. Well, screw it.
Let me see if I can find one.
What's the Nintendo one? The old. You'd have to call.
Oh
Nintendo.
Yeah. The I can't remember. I know what you're talking about though.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was like power 1-800 power or something too stupid?
It was
like
power.
Was
yeah, like Nintendo. I don't freaking know. Okay, you know what? I'm going to just call one of these weird ones here. Just for fun. Now you got me in the mood. okay, where is it? The strangest
one. I'm going to keep looking to see if I can find that
pronunciation
thing.
Pronunciation you could find. Okay, here's one. What's the number? Here we go. All right, let's call this number. This may not work. I don't freaking know. All right, here we go. Oh, it just hangs up? Well, that's some horseshit.
That's sucky.
What's right. The point of that? I need a real one.
He doesn't even want to know if I'm 50.
Okay. About, yeah, no. All right. Here's an 800 number that we'll just try. All right, here we go.
What kind of survey is that? Doesn't even want to know if I'm 50. Jeez.
Jane Industries.
Thank you for calling MCI. Oh. Our system indicates you are calling from.
Say Vandalay.
01471 0462. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not. If calling to confirm your telephone number, press 1.
What? For I know my telephone number. Right, screw you, lady. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Okay, so I finally posted in there. And that number that I got, I posted in the Discord server.
Yeah.
It was from the Dragon Warrior 4 manual, and it was about get serious, get the Dragon Warrior 4 RPG hint book from Takuma Publishing, the hint book authority, serious help from the publisher of over 200 book titles for Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And that was where that number was.
That's where
from.
That number was from. There it is, 1-800-937. Yeah. Okay. So basically what this proves is this shit just, they give it up and they give it to somebody else and now somebody else uses it.
Skits just posted in the chat room, posted the Nintendo tip line. 1-900-288-0707.
Let's call it and see if Nintendo still got their tip line. I bet they don't, but we're going to find out.
We're gone.
We are not here. Oh, it just hangs up.
That's like out.
I think that means it's gone. Also, yeah, it's a 900 number. It may not let me call that out of here. Let me try.
That's true too. We talked about it before. You can't sometimes.
Yeah,
those
are toast. All right. Well, we tried. Good times. Yeah. Good times. If you guys at home have any weird old numbers you want us to call, let us know. We'll do it on the show.
We'll do it.
All right. Well, that's basically it. That's your look at Dragon Quest / Dragon, Dragon Warrior, which you should go back and check out. I think 4 in particular. I think it's real good.
Yeah, I think it's solid.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But now, this.
Destroy it.
Time for me and Brian to play Guess My Game. We take some audio from an old game. We play it. We give each other hints, and we try to guess. I'm going to start, and I'm going to pick one that's a little, not cheaty, but I don't know. The date's a little cheaty. Like what we call retro is a little. Well, anyway, I'll explain it. It's a GBA game. That's allowed, right? I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a GBA game. It came out in, where's my date? 2002. 20 years ago. Okay. A little more than 20 years ago. August 12th of 2002. It's a game I enjoyed greatly.
Oh.
And also found out they're making a reimagining of it now.
Oh, so like when you say you enjoyed it greatly, like, you know, from the cart down, I mean, you just like loved all of it.
I loved all of it. Inside the cart, I looked inside, I rubbed my finger on it. Mm.
Right. What's it taste like?
baby boogers. So
baby boogers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, I think the Switch. Have you done the Switch lick thing? Have you tasted it?
I'm chicken. I can't do
it.
You
gotta do it.
I can't do it.
You guys, what would it take on Patreon for us to get to get Brian to lick a freaking Nintendo cartridge
live for the first time reaction to crap in my pants?
I would love that.
One of those things. But
I would love that. I've done it twice because I wanted to test it, and I think you should do it. We'll talk.
I'll do that while at the same time you're doing a 9-volt battery lick. How about that?
Oh, I hate those so much. You know how much I hate those.
God, they're the worst.
I really do hate doing that. Is that God, how, so wait, do you feel about the game cartridge the way I feel about licking a 9-volt battery?
Yeah.
Okay, then I understand. I'm not going to make you do it because I hate licking 9-volt batteries.
I'll do it for money, though. I mean, that's different.
All right.
Patreon support, absolutely.
I'm
cheap.
Patreon, we'll figure out something. We're going to make Brian's going to lick a cart. And if you don't know, the reason this is even a thing is Switch carts all have this nasty taste on purpose so that little kids don't choke on them. They want to.
Yeah. And I've never looked it up. I've never looked up any description. I'll keep myself a virgin on it. I've never looked up any what exactly the nasty taste is. But I would, if I do taste it, I got to be able to at least identify what I think it is. Like, you know, they put that egg smell, rotten egg smell in gas.
Yeah.
So you would describe it as rotten eggs. I have no clue what a Switch cart must taste like. I've never even looked it up. I don't even want to know.
I will say it's foul. I will say that.
Right. I get worried all the time because, they just said it in the chat room too. This is the thing I always worry about. And I've come very close to doing this. Coalcash has done this as well. I'll be like, I got to take this cart out and then I got to open the other case so they can get the other cart out.
Yeah.
And of course I want to put it in my mouth.
Yep.
And I always catch myself right before I go,
Yeah. Cause your mouth is a good third hand, you know?
Right. Yeah. You almost got me, Nintendo. I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it. All right. Well, we'll figure out a trick here. Here's my thing. This is 2002 Game Boy Advance. Let's see if you can figure it out.
This is funky.
That was just the opener. There's some actual gameplay coming up.
I play some kind of GoldenEye or something? Jeez.
Nope. It sounds a little like it, doesn't it? It's funny you say that, because it is like that. It's not a first-person shooter, I'll tell you that.
No. Is it a top-down?
It is side-scrolling.
Side-scrolling. Definitely got a James Bond vibe to the music, though.
Yeah, it does. I love this game. Chat room says Choplifter. Incorrect. Urban Yeti.
It's not
incorrect.
The 2D version of Choplifter. Come on.
Nope.
Or the 2D side-scrolling Choplifter.
Nope. None of that.
Chop scroller.
Why did anyone ever make an open world full 3D Choplifter? Why doesn't that exist?
That's a good question.
I play the shit out of that. Do you give up? Do you want any other hints?
I'm going to say...
Okay, you know what? I'll give you other platforms, because this showed up on Adobe Flash was the first place it began.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So is this... Are you... okay.
Let's say that one of the publishers is Newground. Interesting.
Okay, that makes sense.
We're entering a very specific era in internet-y game crossover. 2000.
You say it was originally released in 2002, so it's got to be kind of a simpler game. It's a battle mechanic. It's
let's say they were.
Jumping between trains? Are you jumping between trains? Is like a lot of stuff going on in the background?
No, there's stuff in the background, but I wouldn't say you're jumping between trains. No, I would say this is
like a laser too.
It's like a combination. If I could compare them to it, I would say it's a combination of not Metal Gear. What's it called? The SNK
Slug.
Metal Slug. Thank you. It's like a combination of Metal Slug meets.
Deluxe. I don't know.
I'll give you another couple of hints.
Okay.
PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox, mobile phone.
You're just naming devices.
Gizmondo.
That doesn't tell me any.
Do you remember the Gizmondo? They made it for that.
Right.
Game Boy Advance, Xbox 360, and iOS eventually got a port of it. The only other thing I'll tell you is these guys went on to make a very popular game called Castle Crashers. That is the last.
Oh, okay,
hint I
Castle Crashers. Wait. Holy hell, I can see it, but I can't think of the name.
And this is talk about a game where I usually go just to record some audio from it and not play too long. I played this for 2 hours the other night.
It's like
the developer is the Behemoth. The Behemoth. Made it?
No, I can.
The Behemoth.
It's a big giant game.
It's incorrect. I will give you the actual name. The name is Alien Hominid.
Alien Hominid. Of course.
The chat room got it. A couple of people in the chat room got it.
Good Lord. Why could that was like I was buried deep in the back of my brain. I could see the game, but I couldn't freaking think of the freaking name of it.
Yep. And I don't know what they're working on now. They have not done anything since Pit People, which I enjoyed. It was a turn-based thing.
Oh yeah, Pit People was good.
It was really good. Battle Block Theater before that. Mm-hmm. So their last game was Pit People in 2017.
God, I love this game too.
I don't know what they're working on now, but I really like these guys and I hope they're working on something cool. Here it is. So Alien Hominid Invasion. It's basically a reimagining of Alien Hominid. I'm all in on this.
Yeah. I'm dealing with that.
Dude, Hominid's
good. Why do I have a mental block on Alien Hominid? I can't, for some reason, that just will not stick in my brain.
I don't know, but it's awesome.
Even seeing it, I want to say, I'm like, that's not it.
Yeah. This thing, by the way, so the game released in 2002. This flash game for the Newgrounds was so popular, 20 million hits on that thing in almost no time. Later that year, they were working on a console version and they did that. Anyways, three dudes. I always respect this stuff. I think this is great.
Yeah.
So very exciting.
I want to play Fat Princess again. I haven't played that in forever.
Dude, Fat Princess rocked.
That was such a good game.
What a fun effing game. I need more games like that in my life. Oh, Sony, what have you done?
I always think of this.
Anyway, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. So you failed. Now you're my turn. To
So now I feel stupid because I brought an easy present. I thought I'll give Scott something easy since it's almost Christmas.
Okay.
And Scott gives me Alien Hominid.
Yep. Name to remember. I'll admit it's a little tricky. But yours is from the arcade in 84. Is there anything else I need to know?
Oh, yeah. And I said R-Aid for some reason, but it's the arcade. Like, trust me.
R-Aid.
R-Aid. It's not R-Aid. It's arcade. Well,
what is IREM next to this? What does that mean?
Oh, IREM. That was the, the arcade maker manufacturer.
Oh. Okay.
IREM.
I don't remember them. Okay. Well, let's play it.
I didn't remember much about them either, but that was, I see them pop up every once in a while.
Sure. Well, let's see where we go with this one. Here we go. How do I know this? I know this.
I know you do. And if I had started playing this first, you would have guessed it right away. It's the reason why I did a little hesitation.
What is this? Konami, it was a vertical screen and you were little karate dudes and you would fly. Jump really high on the screen. Oh shit. Cause that's a little guy going, yeah, yeah. It's not like a chicken.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of this.
Yes. This is developers IREM and Nintendo and Data East and Berkeley Systems. They Data did East. Kung Fu Master.
Kung Fu Master. It's not, that's the game I was thinking of, but it's not Konami. I thought it was Konami.
No. This is I don't know if Konami ever released a version or something for a console or something, but IREM was the one that I remember at the arcade. This is where I played this.
Man, you just stuck a knife into my childhood because this would have been right around the time that we stopped working with Data East for my dad's game-making business. So we ended our relationship with Zor, the first game presented in stereo. That was our big deal.
Yes.
It was a top-down flight thing. And then prior to that... what was the Lock and Chase,
which is
a Pac-Man ripoff, and it was right after all of that we stopped. This game came right after that. We would have had this game in my dad's warehouse had we stayed with them, but we didn't.
And you would have, just like in our game today, Dragon Warrior versus Dragon Quest, this was Kung Fu Master in the US, and then it was known as Spartan X in Japan.
Spartan X, that's stupid.
Spartan X.
That's stupid. Usually we get the dumb one, but that's dumb.
And did you know that there was a long lost Kung Fu Master sequel found?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
True story.
Tell me more.
I didn't either until I started researching this earlier this week. Back in 2015, there was a prototype for Kung Fu Master 2.
I
was going to post the video link in the chat room, but it's a French guy talking about it, and I kind of watched the video a little bit, but...
Kung Fu Master. I found the net. There's a NES
Kung Fu Master
of the game.
Sequel.
Let me see real quick.
It's called Kung Fu Master 2.
Let me just turn this on. Kung Fu Master Data East. Oh, this 7800 got a version of this.
Oh, the 7800, baby.
Yeah, let me see if I can get it to play. My 7800, yeah, it's emulation. Not going to work. My emulation on Atari stuff has been crashing. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill that real quick here. Goodbye. Okay. Hopefully it doesn't crash our show. All right. That is that's that. We did that. Now yeah. This.
Welcome. Kung Fu.
Kung Fu Panda. No. Master. Time for us to read an email from listeners. And we're going to start with this one. This is just a quick email from Mark Tudor in New York City. New York City, get a rope. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. I've been listening to a few episodes of Play Retro, and I enjoy them very much. Would you consider doing a show or segment about the PC-based text adventure games produced by Infocom?
Mm.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course.
They were very unique games that came out in the late 80s, not long before graphic gaming became popular. Each game came with feelies, which were physical, tangible items included with the game. You could also purchase Inviziclue separately for game hints. The hints were written in invisible ink, and a special marker would reveal them as the hints.
Oh, my God. I love gimmicks.
I know. It's so good.
Drink more Ovaltine, an effing commercial.
I know, right? The games touched upon many genres such as mystery, horror, comedy, crime, and a few sci-fi games. In fact, one of the sci-fi games was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I remember this.
Oh, man.
It was partly designed by Douglas Adams himself, who was the author of the books. The Infocom company had a very interesting and unusual history, and I believe it would provide enough material for the Play Retro show. I agree, dude.
Oh, yeah. That is a great suggestion. We have to
We're doing Infocom.
Yeah, that's be early 2023. We're right around the corner.
Yeah, watch for this coming in early in the year, because that's a real good one. We also received a text from a listener that I will now read. This came from Ryan Mayer in Nanaimo, British Columbia. Nanaimo. I'm not sure how to say it. Says, Play Retro, just listen to your show on the 8 and 16-bit wrestling games. Although this technically applies, it's 16-bit arcade game. I played a lot of the 1985 game Mat Mania, a.k.a. Exciting Hour. I don't know what that means.
I think I remember this one. Yeah.
Says, well, great,
in my research.
Great memories of heading to the billiard hall to play this one. Enjoying the retro memories, Ryan. That sounds interesting. I don't remember that game at all. Mat Mania?
I only remember it when I was doing my research. I remember this is one of the ones that people were showing. It was
it is
weird.
Yeah, it was called Mat Mania. The Pro Wrestling Network was the subcolon name. And there's not much info here except, let's see, on the wrestling world, everything is possible. Mat Mania's Exciting Hour couldn't be different. The player needs to face at least 5 fighters to get the big belt and turn yourself into the wrestler.
Big belt.
It says turn yourself into the first wrestler on the news. That's weird.
Isn't it such a great idea? What do you want to do? Well, I want to go wrestle with another man until I can win a big giant belt and hold it over my head and then take it home and wear it with my Speedo.
Yep. You want to hear the name of the people you fight? Check this out. Aranha. Kung Fu Fighter.
Oh.
Yeah. Everybody's Kung Fu fighting. Coco Savage. Oh, geez.
It's Coco Savage.
Savage. Piranha. And then one final person named Blue's Blood.
Blue's Blood. You want to see Bluey? How about Bluey's Blood?
Yeah. And the art is garbage. I got to send this to you. This is so bad. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Chat room. We've found a real get here. This is garbage.
I'm looking at the 7800 version as well for the Atari. We talked about that earlier. There's an Atari 7800 version as well. Kind of excited about
that. Look at this thing on the stream. It'll show up for a second.
Give me that.
Exciting Hour. Here it is. Look at this art. I mean, did they hire?
I like that, man. Look at that.
Did they hire the kid that sat next to me in detention? Because I feel like I've seen this there.
Freaking love it. That is wow. That is cool, man.
Yep. If you ever wanted to give your junior high friend a little bit of money, here's what he would come up with.
So. That's not how abs work. That is sweet. I love it.
Ooh, we got a bird. Look at this.
Where's the bird?
He's flipping a bird down here. This guy in the mask. Look at that.
Oh, he is shooting a bird. I'll be dag. That's typical.
Well, I think, but culturally, they don't care over there.
But
like
wait. I think his hand is backwards. Is that right? I don't think that's. Can you make that?
I think you're right. I think the hand is backwards.
Sure.
Yep. Also, this guy, I don't know what's going on with his armpit, but it's effed.
Rookie God mistake putting the hands on backwards.
Yep. Absolutely. I don't think this guy at the bottom just giving me the willies. Get the red lips, man. And then this dude up here with the mismatched beard and mustache plus hair that doesn't look like it's the same guy.
Wait, you can bring nunchucks to a wrestling match? Wait a minute.
That's what they always say. Don't bring a gun to a knife fight or a knife to a gunfight, and don't bring a afro to a
steel cage match. Yeah. Yeah, don't bring nunchucks to a steel cage match.
Or nunchucks, not afro. Why did I say afro?
That too.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway. So there's that. Thanks for your text. If you want to send us a text, you can do it. 801-471-0462 is where those go. Or if you'd rather, 801-471-0-GOB.
GOB.
Yep. The other one is the email address, playretroshow@gmail.com. Like we said earlier, well, we didn't tell you guys. We were off air. We were doing pre-show. But we are going to do our next retro episode is going to be the Christmas special, the best retro Christmas releases from the 70s and 90s, or 70s through the 90s.
70s through 90s.
And here's the thing. I said it before, I'll say it again. We're not talking about games that have a moment of Christmas or a patch, like newer games get a patch and you do like a Christmas event. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, hey, kid, spend money on a Christmas game. That's what we're talking about. And one of those, for example.
We're talking about Die Hard. We're not talking about Die Hard for a game, right? Maybe no. We are talking about Die Hard for a game.
Kind of, maybe. I guess you're kind of right. But like a good example of this would be the Sega game that had the weird analog controller. Knights. Is it just called Knights? Whatever it was. The guy that swirled around and
Knights
the Sonic
into
team made
dreams,
it. Into Dreams. There you go. They made a Christmas version of that game and sold it separately.
Yeah.
It wasn't a patch. So that's a good example of this, but we're talking like even older stuff as well. We'll talk about all that weird shit.
Look at this weird shit we found.
That's right.
Next week on Play Retro.
That's right. Look at this weird shit. Does this look infected to you? That kind of thing. So that'll be next week on Play Retro. In the meantime, I'd like to thank brand new patrons, two of them, Tom Suit and Tony Mazes. Mazes?
Ooh,
Mazes.
I like Tom Suit.
Tom Suit is pretty nice cool. Name. He's just two T's, but spelled like suit. Like you'd wear a suit with two T's. I don't know. Anyway, that guy's cool. So is Tony. And you could be like them if you go join us now at patreon.com/playretro. You want some pre-show content? We got that today. You want some monthly benefits?
If we hit high enough, maybe I'll lick that cart. Nintendo.
Yeah.
I'm betting it tastes like salt and vinegar Doritos.
Yes. Ooh, yum, yum. Also, I'm dead serious about Brian and I doing some retro Saturday morning cartoon stuff, retro animation.
Yes.
And if we end up doing that, I think I'm thinking about this. We'll just talk about it out loud. I was thinking what you do is you make it for everybody, but patrons get it like 2 weeks ahead.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, you get a huge window of exclusivity, and then we'll put it out on the main feed after that. For all the plebs, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll talk about it, but I got ideas and I really want to do it. I've been watching Gen 1 Transformers and it's just got my head there. So can't help it. Anyway, Brian, do you have anything else you'd like to add to any of this that I've mentioned?
Yeah, I've got to get to cereal shopping if we're going to be doing some Saturday morning cartoons. I got to figure it out, man.
Yeah, get on that, you slow ass mother scratcher.
Hey.
Stop
scratching my mommy.
Don't forget, also playretroshow@gmail.com is our email address, and you can also find the entire site over at frogpants.com/playretro. And if you're looking for like Twitter and all that stuff, you can find all that there. So go just find it. That'll do it for us. Between now and next time we meet, I would really like it if a bunch of you went and played something retro.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Prepare thyself well.
Oh, okay.
Prepare thyself well.
Thyself well. Meow, 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 meow. The guy that did the...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.